Mostly a protest, but fires have been started. I am here on a holiday weekend because I said I would be, and I also figured that I would have a pretty healthy response to the podcast yesterday. And it's one of those that after I recorded, published, and I didn't really listen back on it, there's like three or four other things that I wish I'd said. But it also came up on Call-In last night. Last night was the official end of Versus Media Live on Call-In, and I decided... It went about as well as I thought it would, but instead of having a caller queue like I had in the past, I just said, fuck it, everyone get up on the stage. And so we had a pretty healthy, fun, interrupted, noisy discussion to end everything. And one of the topics that came up is, it's one of those that just, it hangs around back there, and it's one of these terms that people hear, and they don't really know what it means, but it has a huge effect on our current state of socioeconomics and the culture war and things like that. And I'm glad it came up because I think it's a theme that you're going to see in this campaign for those who know what it is. And it's also one of these issues that only DeSantis is talking about and tackling. And this is kind of what I mean about a younger guy in a post-COVID world or a post-Trump candidate as opposed to Haley Scott, people like that who were pre COVID Trump candidates. And it's a thing called ESG. And you might have heard about this. And it's very much responsible for a lot of when companies get involved in politics, for example, and Target's pushing LGBTQ trans issues and Bud Light is throwing cans at Dylan Mulvaney, or they're supporting Black Lives Matter, or you see McDonald's writing on their cartons that this is all now sustainable packaging or stuff like that, that is all, for the most part, ESG. And it's also one of these things that crept into our lives while we're all kind of sleeping and distracted with, you know, I don't know, Trump's tweets or wherever. And it's one of these things that's going to become very, very difficult to get out. It's along the lines of effective altruism, the stuff with Sam Bankman-Fried, and this effective altruism has just completely infected media outlets because they donated millions of dollars to these media outlets to cover it and give it positive coverage. And this whole idea of effective altruism is billionaires just giving away their money for the good of the world. Well, it's not really the good of the world. Bill Gates is a perfect example of a guy who says, I'm giving away all of my money. My kids get nothing. Maybe the Russian hooker will get some, but I digress. And so they're throwing money at causes like their definition of sustainability. Climate is a big one on this. And ESG is kind of along those same lines. And once you dig into it, it's kind of like a Ponzi scheme. This idea of do-goodism. And it was a great topic to get into because it's one of those where if you don't make people understand it, their eyes glaze over. And DeSantis is the only guy who's pushed a ban on any public funds being dedicated to the notion of ESG. So what is it? Environmental, social, and governance. Investing is used to screen investments based on corporate policies and to encourage companies to act responsibly. Many mutual funds, brokerage firms, and robo-advisors now offer investment products that employ ESG principles. Okay, well, what is that? Let's just read basically from Wikipedia for you. Environmental social corporate governance is also known as environmental social governance, is a framework designed to be embedded into an organization's strategy that considers the needs and ways in which to generate value for all organizational stakeholders, such as employees, customers, suppliers, and financiers. Since 2020, there has been an accelerating pressure from the United Nations to overlay ESG data with the Sustainable Development Goals based on their work, which began in the 1980s. The term ESG was popularly used first in 2004 report titled Who Cares Wins, which was a joint initiative of financial institutions at the invitation of the UN. In less than 20 years, the ESG movement has grown from a corporate social responsibility initiative launched by the United Nations and a global phenomenon representing more than US$30 trillion in assets under management. In the year 2019 alone, capital totaling $17 billion in U.S. assets flowed into ESG-linked products, an almost 525% increase from 2015. Huh, what happened in 2019? According to Morningstar, critics claim that ESG-linked products have not had or are unlikely to have the intended impact of raising cost of capital for polluting firms and have accused the movement of greenwashing. Under their term climate crisis, the body of research providing data for global trends in climate change has led some investors, pension funds, holders of insurance reserves to begin to screen investments in terms of their impact on the perceived factors of climate change. Fossil fuel-reliant industries are less attractive. In the UK, investment policies were particularly affected by the conclusions of the Stern Review in 2006, a report commissioned by the British government to provide an economic analysis of the issues associated with climate change. Its conclusions pointed towards the necessities of including considerations of climate change, environmental issues in all financial calculations, and that the benefits of the early action on climate change would outweigh its costs. So this is generally a movement that started with climate. It's basically corporations and global communities being reined in by the United Nations and others. You talk about the World Economic Forum as well. And it's assigning a social credit score. And it's not just transferred over to climate, you know, sustainable companies, etc. And we can go back to those 31 bankrupt energy companies that should have been a massive scandal for Barack Obama. And they just never investigated it. Romney touched on it. He tried. He gave a speech outside one of those companies, Solyndra, I think it was. And then they all just kind of dropped it. But this is also transferred over. It's not just climate. You're seeing companies start to flirt with social engineering around activist progressive causes. For instance, if you go and you apply for a bank loan for a down payment on a house, they might take into consideration the fact that you might be a gun owner, or that you are Christian, or that you are white, or of any race. They'll just take into consideration what race you are. This, of course, is also part of an initiative the Clintons and the Fair Housing Act have been trying to push for years and years, which was pretty much the actual motivating factor for cratering the economy in 2008. We don't talk about that. That was the greedy bankers that were required by law to offer subprime loans. The Big Short didn't really go into that aspect of it, but it's this idea, and China's implementing this, of a social credit score. If I want to go in and get a car loan, thank you, sir, we need to see your Twitter account. Or if I try to open up a PayPal account, and PayPal says, we can't offer you an account, and why not? Well, it looks like right here, sir, you've had some tweets, and you, Stephen L. Miller, have written about trans issues and gender-affirming care. I'm sorry, we can't let you have a PayPal account. We've seen this instituted, or at least attempted. They've dipped their toes in the water with stuff like this. Bank of America was one. From 2018, Bank of America to stop financing makers of military-style guns. Bank of America will stop lending money to gun manufacturers that make military-style inspired firearms for civilian use, such as the AR-15-style rifles. The policy is the latest example of Wall Street wading into the divisive gun control debate after Citigroup's announcement last month that it would require business customers to restrict certain types of firearm sales. So this is a good example of where it starts with climate, and then it goes into, just happens to go in all one direction of progressive activists and the political left. And of course, when you have a media that is a mechanism to agree with this stuff, you run into a severe problem. And the reason I'm going into this today is because DeSantis is one of the only people out there who has passed legislation banning any public money or any public officials from investing money to promote environmental, social, and governance goals, and prohibiting ESG bond sales. Joe Biden himself vetoed a House GOP ban on ESG. And some other states have passed ESG ban. Kansas is one. I think Abbott either did or is working on one in Texas. And for those of you, just your eyes kind of gloss over, it's another form of basic DEI. diversity, equity, inclusion. It's just another vapid cloud of nothingness that the progressive left, through corporations and the United Nations, have just decided to implement. And the reason I'm talking about this ties into what I talked about yesterday on the podcast about peacetime conservatism versus fight club conservatism. Because you can hold the Constitution up as much as you want. You can say, look, right there, Second Amendment shall not be infringed. But when companies pressured by the media, and when companies pressured by global alliances such as the WEF and the United Nations basically get companies to get on board with saying, hey, that's cool, you can own a gun, we're just not going to make any more of them. You've been listening to the Versus Media podcast, free member version. To get the rest of the podcast, additional segments, as well as comments, questions answered on the podcast as part of the community, please consider joining one of my three subscriber tiers. There's a monthly, then there's a yearly, and then there's a founding tier as well, which I will participate in chats with members weekly and offer some other perks. You're always, of course, welcome to stay a free member here, and there's, of course, no obligation to subscribe. But you should, because that's where all the fun actually happens. This is the Versus Media podcast on Substack, and as usual, don't ever talk to journalists.